A reading from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace, because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him. What is a word? All of us have a jumble of thoughts and feelings and who knows what else swirling inside of us, but no one else has access to this internal life unless in some way we express it. Words open the door to what lies inside another. And without words, our efforts to understand the other are often stymied. What parent has not held their crying infant in the night and moaned, "I just wish you could talk and tell me what is wrong"? Words create bridges to places otherwise unreachable. Now, not always, of course. In our own immediate moment in history, it's clearer than ever that words can be utterly disconnected from reality. We can use words to distract from what's real. We can use them not to reveal our inner selves, but to hide those selves. But when this happens, we must name it for what it is, an abuse of the very reason for which words exist, which is to communicate. Listen closely to the root there, to commune with each other, to make communion possible. In the weeks leading up to this Christmas feast, I've found myself spending more time with Scripture than I often do, and maybe you have too. And I wonder what it is that's drawn me back into the Bible right now. I suspect in part it's because the text of the Advent season are so filled with images of hope. They're filled with God's dreams, visions of what God has planned for us, where wolves lie down with lambs and every tear is wiped away and thousands are fed at mountaintop banquets. And I have needed that hope right now in my life. But beyond the content of the message alone, I think it's also because I experience God's words as having a power, unlike the words I'm hearing in the wider world right now. What makes them different? Well, God's word is true. And what I mean by that is that all the way through Scripture, there's a total harmony between what God says and what God does. Think of the story of creation in Genesis. God speaks light, and there is light. There's no distance between God's speech and God's will. There's no gap between God's word and God's heart. Like the centurion who we heard from in that first week of the Advent season, I can trust that God's word equals God's action. No need to travel to my house and meet my ailing friend. If the divine word is given, it's good enough for me. This world where blind see and lame walk, it's not a campaign promise. If God has spoken it, God will be true to God's word. Now today's lyrical text from John pushes our understanding of the word of God even further. Because John asks, what if God being God, all the words in the world were not enough? What if God wanted to convey all that God dreams, all that God wills, all that God is in a single word? What if this word could so perfectly express God's love that no other words need be spoken? God being God, God did do that. And that word, the word, is Jesus. No one has ever seen God, John reminds us. And yet through Jesus, we have come to know God's innermost being. What the prophets had described in Jesus we saw lived. He tore the veil obscuring God's dwelling. He bridged what otherwise would have been unreachable. And he's true. In him, there's nothing false, nothing hidden. There are no lies, nothing being covered up. He truly communicates God's very heart, faithfully, authentically. And in return, God was true to him. When the world did not know him, when his own people did not accept him, when darkness tried to overcome him, God was true to God's word and raised this word from the dead. This word has a power of which the world does not know, but we know it. And how, in the spirit of John the Evangelist, do we best honor the word this Christmas day? Perhaps by recommitting ourselves to practices that honor the sanctity of words. By using words only to reveal ourselves, never to hide ourselves. By using words only in service of communication, communing, communion, not division. By only saying things that are true. And by being true to the words we have spoken. A world that does not honor words cannot honor Jesus. But when we use words the way God uses words, with integrity, they take on power. Indeed, the impossible becomes possible. Wolves lay down with lambs, tears are wiped away, multitudes are fed, a kingdom is born. May your words create bridges to places otherwise unreachable.